The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Fighting tyranny and government overreach. This is the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. Sounds a little redundant. This is an exciting show. I have no guests this hour because the information this week, I'm just chock full of vim and vimmer, brimming with vim and vimmer. Anyway, this is the week that the United Nations climate... and actually, I may have hit late last Friday or Saturday, but I think it didn't officially release till Monday morning, but they had a lot of leaks. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about how we're doomed yet again with new climate tipping points and what was different about this report from the ones previous. And this has really gone woke, and we're going to get into that. The identity politics, which has invaded this report. And I'm going to tell you whether you should be terrified. And not just whether you should be terrified, but why the United Nations is not a qualified organization to determine climate scientists and why it is a political organization. I'll give you a brief history on that. I'll also give you reaction from Dr. Richard Lindzen, from climatologist Dr. Judith Curry, from extreme weather expert Roger Pilkey Jr. We're going to have some fun on all of these climate issues today. There's also some other news on the whale deaths and dolphins now showing up on the Jersey Shore. And a New Jersey senator is trying to put a complete moratorium on this offshore wind. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how the BBC is citing experts saying it is morally indefensible, it is not morally acceptable to oppose any offshore at any wind development projects, and that would include probably solar, because they're the moral choice when you face a climate emergency. You have no business, no matter how inconvenient, no matter what it does to species, no matter how much reliant on China we are, no matter the fact that they produce virtually no energy compared to fossil fuels, we must just accept them. We're also going to talk about another thing. This is hilarious. Insects have been touted from the World Economic Forum to the United Nations to CNN to governments around the world to the EU, which just approved cricket powders. And it's now coming. They're giving crickets to kids in school and elementary school as part of a psych-op. Well, guess what? Now the animal rights people are getting involved. They're demanding welfare standards for these bugs meant to save the planet from the human-caused climate crisis, because bugs have the capacity to feel pain and suffering. So you can imagine, why is it okay to eat a cow or an animal when bugs are the same thing? They're living creatures. How can we eat a living animal? And that's the question. So that's going to be fun. The Colorado, great reset news. Colorado, you think you have your electric car? You think that you are going to say, I'm not going to give up my gas-powered cars. I'm never getting an electric. I'm not going to. Well, guess what? It's not your choice. And what do I mean? World Bank telling automakers gas-powered cars are done. Corporate banks telling the world, we're not going to give out car loans to people who want a gas-powered car. You have executive orders bypassing democracy, unelected regulatory boards imposing this. You have corporate government collusion. But guess what? Even if after all that you manage to still have your gas car, they have another way to get you. Colorado, California, now a wave of cities banning new gas stations due to, and I'm quoting, an obligation to tackle the climate change. So what they're doing is, even if your car made it through the automaker, your auto production, made it through the car loan process, made it through your state's regulations, and somehow you actually have your new gas-powered car, you're not going to be able to find gas stations. You're going to be in 1970s-style long lines as they start shortening up. And this is what I warned you about in previous episodes. Under a declared climate emergency, mayors, governors, county executives, local officials, presidents, and prime ministers can start declaring moratoriums on new gas stations, moratorium limits on gas station hours. The whole idea is to force you to either stay at home, you will go nowhere and be happy, or to get you on mass transit, where then they can say, no, you can't ride mass transit unless you're masked and vaxxed or whatever the latest crisis du jour is. Anyway, I will get into that, although I seem to got into that even more than I expected to. And we're going to talk about gas ban stove again, as our New York Times actual headline, January 21st, 2023. No one is coming for your gas stove anytime soon. Oh, really? So it's 2 months soon? Because now Biden's energy secretary, feds are coming for some gas stoves now. And by the way, they always start, they're only doing a limited amount they're going to be banning. And the New York State is already banning gas stoves and new construction. So yes, they are coming for your gas stoves, and it is very soon. In fact, last time I checked, it's now. So we'll get into that. And the other thing is my exclusive this week, which I actually had a preview earlier in the week before it happened. Climate homicide. And I'm not making this up. New paper in the Harvard Environmental Law Review calls for prosecuting big U.S. oil firms for climate deaths. Now, this is just beyond patently absurd, but it's fun. I mean, what can you do? You have to laugh as the world goes. And why is this so fun? This is in the Harvard Law Review, Harvard Environmental Law Review. So just to be clear, I get often accused, whether it's the BBC, Media Matters, Daily Coast, a lot of these critics or the and other activists and European critics of me and other bloggers. Oh, Morano's getting, look at that. He's getting some obscure blogger. Look at that. It's a blog from Greenpeace from 4 years ago. That means... I never do that. I never find, sometimes I'll find an extreme thing that's kind of fun because it's usually then becomes mainstream within a few months. But they, none of the stuff I'm citing, doing, in fact, if I give my hour power presentation talk, it's all mainstream sources. It's all the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the New York Times, Newsweek, Washington Post, the BBC. It doesn't need to be an obscure source. And so this article I'm talking about, it's not like, oh, this is just some nut on a blog. Is that what he's doing? He's just hyping nonsense. Yeah, it's a nut in the writing in the Harvard Environmental Law Review from allegedly one of the most prestigious universities in the world. Oh, yeah. I'm really cherry picking that one. That's what they do. They actually try to smear you that way when it's nothing could be further from the truth. And by the way, the University of Helsinki has given Greta Thunberg an honorary doctorate, or they're about to, in theology, which is funny, which I'll talk briefly about that as well. So we'll get back to the climate homicide thing. All right, well, so to start out, and I also have some great audio clips. There's Anthony Fauci this week. PBS, Public Broadcasting here in the United States, released this documentary, which I guess they shot in 2021. And there are some incredible moments. Anthony Fauci is supposed to be the science, highest paid federal employee. His net worth grew to like over $12 million during the pandemic because during COVID lockdowns, because he owned the patents and profits from controlled the patents from a lot of these medicines. He profited from all of these different medicines and during the COVID and particularly all the research. So he really, and that's interesting data to look at, as well as Bill Gates' net worth increasing, as well as, of course, big tech, largest transfer of wealth. Anyway, so I have an audio clip of that, which I will get to. So I will try to make this fast paced. I will try not to get bogged down, but I do want to start out with the United Nations report, because that is the biggie. That's the biggie that the media, everyone's hyping. This is a probably the last report for several years, but this is what they're going to go with. It's the physical science report. These are the world's top scientists, 97%. These are unflappable scientists. They all agree. The consensus is there. Let me give you the mainstream media headline. Washington Post. You ready? Exact quotes. World is on the brink of catastrophic warming, comma. UN climate report says. Okay. So we're on the brink of by the way, what do you think Al Gore, if someone just tells you and you believe them, and remember, this is the Washington Post, for some reason, is a reliable source for a lot of people, maybe at least 40% of the population here in the United States. So they must believe we're on the brink of catastrophic warming. if you were the leader of the movement fighting this, like Al Gore, wouldn't you be like, I told you so? And but no, you know what he did? He sent out a report, a fundraising letter from his Climate Reality Project, using the Washington Post headline with fire and smoke and climate devastation behind it. They did a Photoshop of it with the Washington Post headline, and he put in big red square, donate now. So, world about to end. Al Gore, what do you say? I think it's time to donate to me. That's what he's doing. So Al Gore is begging people for money so that he can capitalize on this world on the brink of climate catastrophe, catastrophic warming, according to the United Nations. Now, what's interesting is behind this report, and I give Politico, it's a mainstream news organization, but they have about 20% of the time they can actually do a lot of great reporting. They're not as doctrinaire as, say, the New York Times, Washington Post. Or perhaps it just makes my radar more often than the other papers when they go off the narrative. But the Politico had a great headline, and I guess I can't curse on air, but bleep show, as another word for excrement or feces. Key UN report was delayed by scientist strike. You say, oh, what? UN by scientist strike? What? The final installment of the 6th major assessment of the state of the climate released was due to land originally in October 22, and it was delayed till March of 23. But the report was delayed, a move blamed on operational reasons. And this upset countries, scientists, green campaigners. This is the key line. This delay in this report of from October to March upset countries, scientists, and green campaigners. Are you ready? This is a quote. Who had counted on having the new UN climate report on hand going into the UN climate talks in Egypt in November. Whoa. So I'm to believe that scientists were upset that the report was delayed because the report couldn't be used at the political talks at the UN climate summit, which I attended back in Egypt in Sharm el-Sheikh, which we renamed Sharm el-Sheikhtown, back in November. They're upset that this wasn't used, that they weren't able to use their science report, and I'm making air quotes, for their lobbying purposes at the United Nations political summit. Wow. And they said delegates at the September meeting of the UN process, bemoaned the fact that the so-called climate synthesis report, which pulls together findings from previous chapters, blah, 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 would miss the opportunity to add impetus to the discussions. Wow. So, there's anger over this so-called science being delayed, not to be used for political purposes. And I said, kudos to Politico for correctly characterizing the UN climate show as a bleep show or excrement show. There is more evidence that these IPCC reports are nothing but political lobbying reports designed to influence politicians and the public, not present unbiased science. So, what's interesting about this is the United Nations was formed, this climate panel, in 1988. Their mission was to say, hey, we're going to look at whether CO2 is causing a climate catastrophe. If it is, shazam, we get to put ourselves in charge of finding the solution. So not only do we get to say, hey, we found a problem and it's really, really bad, but we have a solution here. They have no incentive and have had no incentive ever to look at whether CO2 couldn't be causing a climate catastrophe. Because if they ever once found that CO2 wasn't driving this catastrophe, they would then lose the ability to be in charge of controlling the solution. They'd lose billions and hundreds of billions of dollars of climate slush funds with the UN Climate Fund and the meetings and the lavish travel and all the importance and the power and the lobbying that United Nations gets to do. And the moral, don't forget this, the moral certainty and the wagging of the finger. So this was a self-serving lobbying organization from the beginning. And this is to be taken with a literal grain of salt. So anyone who's actually thinks they're intelligent out there, hey, I have a master's in geology, I have a PhD, whatever. And you actually believe that this is a credible source, you are full of bleep yourself, and you need some serious intellectual, I don't know what it is, retraining. How does that sound? Anyway, all right, enough of insulting credentialed people who believe this crap. Anyway, so this report. So the question is, what does this report say? I mean, it goes through the whole nonsense. We're behind the meeting, the 1.5 degree temperature. your goals, which I've already pointed out multiple times, are literally pulled from thin air. This was revealed in the ClimateGate emails. All of this nonsense about the temperature, trying to meet some temperature goal, was world leaders at a summit. I will stop the Earth's temperature from rising 2 degrees. I'll do it 1.5. I'll do it. It's just total grandstanding, not based in any science. It's just a political goal. All the main players who have been involved in this have admitted it. So that is just incredible. So here's the question. What did this report, why was it different? And let me finish here. Let me just give you a couple of things here. So this was Joanne Nova from Australia, who does the Joe Nova's blog. And we actually gave her an award at CFACS for CFAC, the Dauntless Purveyor of Climate Truth, at the recent climate summit in Orlando, Florida. Of course, she couldn't fly to the United States because the Biden administration has a ban on unvaccinated people from entering. Oh my gosh, no one unvaccinated. Of course, the border has no such restrictions whatsoever. They're welcome with open arms. Anyway, so Dr. Judith Curry's reaction to this new CNN, UN climate report warns the climate time bomb is ticking. I'm not going to get into all the specifics at this point. Who cares? But I'll give you some of the fun reactions and some of the analysis. So Joe Nova, who I mentioned, said, fire, brimstone, and ticking time bombs. Again, UN IPCC launches the 666 final warning of climate hell. I like the 666 omen, Damien, biblical Diavolo reference. The new climate report is a, quote, survival guide to humanity. On a more serious note, climatologist Dr. Judith Curry, who's former head of the Georgia Tech Climatology Department, Science Department, ripped the new UN climate reports, specifically the summary for policymakers, as, quote, pure politics, weakly justified, and politicized. Richard Lindzen was on Andrew Bolt's show, who's a great Australian broadcaster for Sky News. Love his show. Been on his show. Actually was able to go on in studio, which was a lot of fun a few years ago. He said, Richard Lindzen, in reaction to this new UN climate report, was asked by Richard Bolt, what do you think we should do about global warming? And Richard Lindzen's response was nothing. Point of fact, I don't think there's any threat on the horizon. The UN is exploiting people's ignorance to promote fear. And actually, I shouldn't have done that. I actually have an audio clip of that. Let me play that clip. It's going to be clip one. And this is Richard Lindzen talking about climate change in this new UN climate report on Andrew Bolt's show.
What do you think we should do about global warming?
Nothing. You know, if you wanted to do something in terms of policy, I mean, remember, I think there is pretty universal agreement that if the whole Anglosphere and the European Union were to shut down completely, bury all industrial activity and people so that we don't generate CO2, that its impact on climate would be negligible. Because, you know, the rest of the world is going to continue and they're now dominating emissions. So no matter what you believe about climate, our actions will do nothing about climate. If you truly believed that it was an existential threat, then the only thing you could do is build up your resilience. And building up your resilience means making more, having people wealthier. Because we see throughout the whole world, if you are a poor country, if you're not resilient, natural disasters cause immense damage, pain, suffering, and so on. In the developed world, similar disasters cause much less damage. So your aim would be resilience. Instead, we're choosing to make ourselves less resilient. And that makes no sense at all, no matter what you believe. In point of fact, I don't think there's any threat on the horizon. And the best thing to do is to make society wealthier.
That was Dr. Richard Lindzen, MIT climate scientist, now retired. But he says this has nothing to do with climate, is what he also added. Now, what he said there was incredibly, incredibly important and incredibly accurate from all my decades of analysis on this. As a layperson, as an investigative journalist, what he's saying is nothing we can do can legislate the weather or the climate. And even if we zero out our emissions in the West, as John Kerry has pointed out, it would have no impact on global emissions because we're not even close to having any impact. In fact, the United States is leading the world in reducing CO2 emissions from the switch from coal to natural gas fracking. But his point about if you actually are worried about climate and extreme weather, and we'll talk about extreme weather in a minute here, you would actually then very simply build up your wealth. You would build up your resilience. You can look at the charts, 99% drop in climate-related deaths over the last 100 years globally. And the question is why? It's because we've built the infrastructure. It's also because climate extreme weather is either decreasing or not any trend at all on climate timescales. But as you build up early warning systems, better foundations, irrigation, the models of fossil fuel modern society, we protect ourselves from the extreme weather. We take the extreme climate and we make it safe for humans. So what his point is that's what you want to do. This developing world gets hit the hardest by, it had the most impact from any bad weather versus the developed world. So the solution would be to develop the rest of the world as bad as possible. Not the opposite, not keep the developing world poor because I love their line, you know, you can't make the same mistakes we did. Oh, what mistakes were those? Well, we have really long lives and low infant mortality and fabulous wealth and prosperity and clean air and clean water. You can't make those mistakes. You got to put we'll get you a solar panel on your hut made of dung as you burn stuff inside and have horrible air pollution and you're out hunting, gathering and slashing and burning, but you're doing it right. You're actually living in harmony with the earth. So don't make our mistakes. I'm not making that up. That's what these people actually believe. And I've run long reports on this. I've written books on it. I've interviewed them myself. The idea that they go into the developing world and they tell them, you don't need mechanized farming. You should use the animal cart. They're much more earth friendly. Well, gee, we've been using those for thousands of years. That's right. You're doing it right. Anyway, so we need wealth. So that was on that. Now, the other thing about this United Nations climate report, and this was incredible. I mentioned it earlier. This was an invasion of identity politics into this report. And Michael Bastiche, a Daily Caller, did a deep dive from this is incredible, from the woke identity politics angle. And he says, the UN's new climate report is a woke dumpster fire masquerading as science. Climate justice, equity and inclusion, redistributive policies. Variations of the words equity and inequity appear 31 times in the 36-page UN climate summary for policymakers document. Variations of inclusion and inclusion appear 17 times. The document mentions colonialism and repeatedly refers to climate social justice for marginalized groups. It has a whole section on equity and inclusion. And it also talks about redistributive policies that shield the poor, vulnerable, social safety nets. It's very political. The report's accompanying press release is quite explicit about its goal. Taking the right action now could result in the transformational change essential for a sustainable, equitable world. Now, let's stop for a second there. This is a hard science, allegedly, United Nations climate report, and their press release says, quote, taking the right action now could result in transformational change essential for a sustainable, equitable world. You ever get the idea that this isn't about climate change? This is the result in a transformational change essential for a sustainable, equitable world. Anyway, the press release from the UN goes on to quote one of the report's authors who says climate justice is crucial because those who have contributed the least are being disproportionately affected. And this is the idea is that our SUVs cause that drought in Africa, despite the fact that global droughts are actually declining on climate timescales. But it's our SUVs' fault. So we owe them money because we caused it. No, how about we help them? How about we lift the ban from the World Bank on developing fossil fuel projects? How about we help them build infrastructure? How about we help them get fossil fueled energy? How about we help their economies? Not pay them to be poor. Not give them United Nations climate slush fund money to keep them down. So with all that, when I come back, I'm going to do a quick dive into the extreme weather because Roger Pilkey Jr. has just laid waste to anyone. And I mean anyone who's like, oh, the weather's getting worse. Did you see in the news? There was something in Australia. There was a bad weather event. Oh, my God. There was a tornado in Tornado Alley. See, we warned you. This is devastating. The definitive guide to extreme weather. And I'll give you a little clue. No trends in declining trends in hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, droughts, heat waves, disasters, losses, and wildfires. All peer-reviewed in official sources. So that's coming up after the break as we continue to rant and rave about this new United Nations climate report, which is explicitly designed to cause political change and make us a sustainable, equitable world. Nothing to do with climate change. This is the Mark Morano Show on TNT. We'll be right back after these messages.
For Boye Morich on TNT Radio.
Bill Gates has penned an op-ed for the New York Times saying, I worry we're making the same mistakes again. He wants to create a global health emergency corps. And you know, my response is, like, seriously, dude, can't you just leave us alone? Why are you so obsessed with global domination? Can't you just go play Age of Empires and, you know, take over the world vicariously through the Age of Empires simulation? He just won't go away. Yeah, it's just the same old, give us more power to take over the planet. I'm, you know, basically Cobra Commander. And on top of that, it was also quite shocking this weekend clip that came straight from Tedros the Terrorist's Twitter account. He's basically saying our obstacle is nationalism, narrow nationalism. And he's basically, you know, basically between the lines saying, give us world government, sign the pandemic accord, and everything's going to be okay. They're so close. They're on the cusp of all-out world government, these freaks.
For Voye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Challenging the consensus. This is the Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. Just in case people are, you know, don't believe what I said on this key part about the United Nations report actually saying in their press release that the key to this is we need to take action that could result in the transformational change essential for a more equitable world. This is actual quote from the IPCC press release released on March 20, 2023. I'm looking right at it. Urgent climate action can secure a livable future for all. They have literally morphed from we're all going to die to all about identity politics and now pushing the outcome. And by the way, the UN Secretary General warning of his climate bomb and climate doomsday. No one mentions the fact he's the former president of Socialist International. It's just never mentioned. It's just kind of like this guy's a scientific expert, and there he is. He's a political hack socialist who's the secretary general, and they put him on as though, wow, the UN says that this is pretty serious. It's the esteemed UN is doing this. It's just nuts. But one of the things they try to do is this extreme weather. Now, keep in mind, what I'm about to read you from Roger Pilkey Jr., the extreme weather expert, University of Colorado, and he's been doing this for decades, and he's had peer-reviewed studies on all sorts of extreme weather events. This is actually, a lot of this data appears in the underlying reports of things like the National Climate Assessment, in peer-reviewed journals, and in the United Nations Climate Report themselves. So what they do is they release thousands of pages, or at least high hundreds. I haven't seen I have not had a chance to review this whole thing yet this week because there's been too much going on, but I will. I always make it a point to go through these studies to see what they're studying and what they're leaving out and what conclusions they draw, independent of this summary from policymakers. But what they do is they have to put in a lot of this hard data. They can't avoid it. But what I always say is they do that misdirection. When current reality fails to alarm, you make scarier and scarier predictions of the future. And polar bears have always been the best example. Polar bears at or near historic population highs. They are disappearing, but only from Al Gore's books and movies. He made it a poster child in his first film. It disappeared in his second film. Never even mentioned it. Why? Because they were at or near historic population high. So how do you get people scared about polar bears when their numbers are booming? Well, you make a scary prediction. So you do the misdirection. Polar bears are at record population. Yeah, but it's more dire than ever. What? Really? How? Well, our prediction now, the year 2100, is more severe than it was just 5 years ago. It's gotten worse. It's worse than we thought. So you get a current reality, which is like, whoa, good news for polar bears. And then you say, well, wait a minute. Let's ignore that. Look at our prediction at 2100. Polar bears will be decimated. Oh, my God. We have to act now to save the polar bear. Forget the fact that they're increasing. Forget the fact every other prediction was wrong. They have new shiny predictions. And that is how the UN does this. They will bury the fact that all the hard data shows no climate crisis, but they hype the fact that all their predictions show it's coming. It's just around the corner, which was the Washington Post headline. Climate catastrophe, you know, looming. Donate now to Al Gore. Okay, so what Roger Pilkey Jr. said, the definitive guide to extreme weather, no trends or declining trends on climate timescales and hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, droughts, heat waves, disaster losses, wildfires, all peer reviewed. Dr. Pilkey himself says, quote, everything you find in this report, everything is consistent with what has been reported in the UN IPCC and found in official data and the peer-reviewed literature. Okay, well, now you got me interested. What does it say? We're not dying by all this extreme weather? He opens up by saying, what the media won't tell you about extreme weather and its impacts. Here's a thread on some of the figures I've posted in recent months. Okay, floods. The UN IPCC finds, this is the UN IPCC, the report we're just talking about, probably the previous report, but finds no trends in flooding globally. Did you know that flood impacts in the U.S. as a proportion of wealth are down 70% over the last 80 years? That's another bit of that little, get what, that little fossil fuel development and city planning and managing and infrastructure. Huge news, good news, but don't tell anyone. He's being sarcastic there because if people know, they won't be motivated to create a more equitable world through the United Nations to save us from the climate. Okay, so that was on floods, right? Floods are down. IPCC admits it. Let's take a look at drought. The IPCC finds no long-term trends in meteorological or hydrological droughts in Western Europe. Specifically, there's no droughts globally. Then he says in Western Europe, specifically, there's no trend in drought over 150 years. So anyone who says there's a drought in blank country in Europe, gee, there's been a downward trend in 150 years, but even in these downward trends, you're always going to have extreme weather events and something happening and some record broken at a local area. And I always use this analogy. People, it's like a casino when you go in and you see all the pictures of all the people winning at slot machines and there's photo after photo. And I love the ones that have the big cardboard checks and they're standing, you know, they're human-sized cardboard checks and they're holding it with two or three people and they're winning $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, some $1 million. You get the impression at looking at their wall of winners in any casino in any town in the world that everyone's a winner, that they're just... the casinos are just paying out money. The casinos are cash cows. That's exactly what they do with extreme weather. They find a weather event all over the world and they hype it. Look, there's a flood here in Europe. There's a drought here in Australia. There's a tornado in Oklahoma. There's a hurricane hitting Costa Rica. There's wildfires in California. This is unprecedented. We've never had. And yet records are meant to be broken. And just like that casino, by the way, when the media does that, you get the impression there's extreme weather. The same thing when you walk in the casino and you see all the pictures of people winning slot machines. You get the impression everyone's a winner. I'm going to go play the slots. I'm going to make money. And you also get the impression on the climate side that, oh my gosh, we're all going to die. The weather's getting so bad. It's not. Have the casino open the books. A fraction of not even 1% are winning that money where everyone else is massively losing. Then open up the books on climate and you find out that all this extreme weather they're hyping is in the face of no trend or declining trend on 30, 50, 100-year climate timescales. You are being had. Once again, if you have an advanced degree or science or watch the news and think, well, I follow the science, I know climate change, you're a moron if you don't actually look into this a little and start looking at any of these claims that they're making and actually look at the science. Okay, sorry. Heat waves. Specifically, he's talking about U.S. The U.S. government official metric, this is Roger Pilkey Jr. continuing, the U.S. government's official metric for heat waves comes from a paper that he co-authored more than 20 years ago. It shows an increase from the 1960s. Oh my gosh, heat waves are increasing. How could I mention that on the air? I must have slipped up. Oh, it's against my narrative. Oh, but wait a minute. Heat waves have increased in the U.S. since the 1960s, but they've decreased dramatically since the 1930s. Oh, wah, wah, wah. By the way, I did a special report on this. Joe Biden's EPA keeps this data, and it clearly shows the United States heat waves in the 1930s to be about 8 times higher than anything we've been through before or since, and including anything currently the last few decades. So how do they make the heat waves scare Americans? And how do they do it? They did a report starting with the coldest period of the last, and you can look at the chart going back to 1900, 120 years. They picked the coldest period and said, since 1960, heat waves have increased X amount. If they continue increasing, we're all going to die. All see how that works? They picked, cherry picked 1960, the coldest period of the 120 year record. And then they said heat waves have increased. Had they gone back to the 1930s, they would have said there's been dramatic falls in heat waves. But they don't do that because that doesn't fit the narrative. So continuing. Even while heat waves have increased since 1960, but remember, dropped since the 1930s, mortality from extreme heat has fallen pretty much everywhere in the U.S. That's good news. And there's showing all these declines. And again, that's air conditioning. That's fossil fuels. What's the climate agenda want to do? Make fossil fuels expensive, which makes air conditioner more restricted, which means deaths will more likely go up during extreme heat. And by the way, cold kills anywhere from 8 to 20 times more than extreme heat. So once you start limiting energy and increase the cost, you're going to have a lot higher death of climate-related deaths in the winter than you ever would in the summer, because cold kills many times over what heat does. Okay. Hurricanes. This is the U.S. It says, according to the World Meteorological Society, the United Nations Climate, and the National Climate Assessment, they're all in agreement. This is Roger Pilkey Jr. No upward trend in landfalling hurricanes, including the strongest storms. Have you ever seen these graphs in the media? Have you? Not in mainstream media. And he shows all the charts. I mean, there's literally no, not only is there no trend, it's declining trends on a lot of, depending on how you look at it. Now, he says here, no upward trends, which is a one way of saying it, but he has a red line showing it declining since 1900. And both in major landfalling and just in all landfalling and in major landfalling hurricanes as well. There's a red line going down. It's probably not statistically significant enough to call it a declining trend for scientific rigor. So he says no upward trend, but his chart shows that the red line going down. So U.S. disaster costs, as a proportion of gross domestic products, U.S. disaster costs have gone down. He goes through a whole chart on that. European disaster costs continue to fall as well. So there's nothing economically, the weather's not costing more. Global weather, climate disaster losses, he shows that going down. Global disasters, U.S. tornadoes, reports of U.S. tornadoes, which EF3, which is the category three larger, that's hurricane, but three, the Fujika scale, category three and larger, 70% of deaths and destruction from those tornadoes are down in long and short terms. So the big tornadoes are down significantly in the short term and the long term. We've had recent years of record low tornadoes, but you know what people will say on the other side and the way they get around it? The tornado count has gone up dramatically in the last 40 years. And what they don't tell you is that that is because they have better detection of tornadoes that we never would have put in the historical record book. So yes, the count is up, but it doesn't mean that tornadoes that have an impact are up. We're detecting them better. There's not necessarily more tornadoes. So again, tornadoes, big tornadoes, down, and in some cases dramatically since the 1950s. Damage from tornadoes, inflation adjusted, have decreased. Normalized UN hurricane losses, global hurricane landfalls. I talked to you earlier about U.S. hurricanes landfalls. It says lots of ups and downs over 70 plus years, but no trend. Now, this one looks interesting because this is a no trend one. I can't say this is a declining trend, although if you look at it, 1971, probably the worst year. This is only since 1970. So the problem is they don't have data really that's worth anything going back before all that coverage, you would have, you know, plane reports and then on the ground. But I've seen other reports that showed dramatic, you know, that in 1940s being the most active and deadly and most powerful hurricane season. Anyway, continuing. Global hurricane energy, which is a metric that combines the hurricane and comes up with a strength measure, has shown up and down, no trend since 1980. Energy per storm. Storms are not getting, this is hurricanes, hurricanes are not getting stronger, but fewer. There's just no trend that he's finding. And these are more recent. All this data, a lot of this sophisticated data from satellites and monitoring is from 1980 forward. So you're not getting that longer climate timescale that I like that you get with droughts and floods and other things that are more ground-based, that they have longer-term records that aren't as much reliant on the newer developments in atmospheric monitoring. It's available at Climate Depot called The Definitive Guide to Extreme Weather, and it is full of charts. It lays waste to any claim by the United Nations, by the media, by any of your friends or teachers or anyone else. Just take a look at it. The weather is not getting more extreme on every single possible measure. Anyway, I was going to play you here. This is clip two. Dutch farmers are back in the news by two reasons. A, they're trying to shut down the farms again. B, the farmers are protesting. And C, they won a series of provincial elections, which actually might give them political power to fight these globalists. But here is a Dutch farmer. This is according to, this is Peter Sweden, a Swedish journalist account. I don't think his last name is actually Sweden, but I think it's Peter. Yeah, it's Peter Emuelsson. A Swedish journalist, and yeah, he's at Twitter at Peter Sweden 7. This is a talking to one of the Dutch farmers about why the globalists hate the farmers.
Because Klaus Schwab telling people to eat insects, but he also say at the end you will own nothing and still be happy. But Mr. Klaus Schwab will own everything. Yeah. So the story, he will never eat the insects. He will force the poor people to eat insects and fake foods and produce hyper-produced foods, you know, with a lot of chemicals inside and they force poverty upon people will bring them to the fact that they have to buy this kind of food because they can't afford the rest. And by breaking down family farms in the Netherlands, food security will be at high stakes.
So it is like communism, where they take from the poor people, and only the rich people, the elite, they are the ones with all the power.
Well, actually, it's very painful to say, but a free and democratic country, known all over the world, that we have very free laws and very free people that travel everywhere and make agreements all over the world, are now forced in some sort of pattern that we are. Yeah, is your communism can. It sounds like communism.
Climate communism.
I love that phrase, climate communism. You know, I would have not used that phrase 5 years ago because I thought it would turn people off. But I think people now realize what's happening. And this farmer laid out, by the way, this what's happening in the Netherlands is very simple. This is part of the 1.5 degrees Celsius, the net zero agenda. All these goals, these world leaders commit to, they come home, they put it into their infrastructure, their government, and then courts order this to happen. They're closing up to 11,000 family-run, small, independent farms. This isn't going to affect the big Bill Gates, Chinese, corporate mega-giant farms. It's going to affect the ones who can't afford the costs, the ones who can't afford to retrofit, the ones who can't afford all the new restrictions to meet the net zero emission climate goals going after high-yield agriculture. By the way, this is now happening in Australia, in Canada. It's spreading to the United States. This is their goal, is to make food shortages, which then they can nationalize the food industry. They can make us eat lab-grown meat. This is what Bill Gates' stated goal, being America's number one farmland owner. And this is what the goal is, to get us to eat insects. I thought that farmer really laid it out extremely well on what they're trying to do in the Netherlands. So I wanted to go on to the next clip here. This is actually the other thing I mentioned at the opening. This is clip three. This is our energy secretary is now saying, well, we are going to ban gas stoves. And keep in mind that in January 21st of this year, the New York Times had a headline and a whole article, but I'm talking, this was their headline in the article bragging that they were not going to, let me give you the exact quote. New York Times, January 21, 2023, 2 months ago. No one is coming for your gas stove anytime soon. But here we have this. Now let's play this clip. Biden Secretary Energy, Jennifer Granholm, explaining how they are coming for gas stoves. Wow. First of all, this is a bureaucrat who has no idea talking about the size of the burner versus the pot. And blah. These are not engineers. These are not people who build things. These are people who destroy things and regulate them out of existence. So what's interesting about this is the media called us conspiracy theorists. Now, look at these idiots. These rubes think they're going to ban gas stoves. Another right-wing conspiracy theory. New York State just banned gas stoves. They announced it this week. An all new construction. Our energy secretary, did you hear how she was parsing? Well, this is only going to be on the very high end. Remember when they started the income tax? I think it was 1913 in the United States. You know how they sold it? It's only going to be on the very wealthy, the 1%. It's not going to affect you. Every tax, it's only going to affect the wealthy. It's not. And then once they get the premise in, start banning stuff, it starts expanding. Anyone who believes, well, it's just, look, they're just doing that. They get their claws in. They've already stated the Consumer Protection Safety Administration in the United States, run by a political hack, has already said it's time to start banning them. And their only consolation now that they've been exposed as this lie that this wasn't a conspiracy theory is that, well, we're not going to rip them out of homes already there. But even that, if you go to repermit your home, renovate your home, or your old stove dies and you want to buy a new one, they won't make it available. So even though they're not coming in, at least they say they're not coming in to rip it out of your home, eventually it's kind of like attrition. Eventually it'll work its way out. As Joe Biden said, of fossil fuels, we'll work it out. We'll work them out of this system. You know, just get rid of all fossil fuels. Anyway, that is Jennifer Granholm, Biden's energy secretary, just giving us a good dose of what's happening. Other thing that happened this week, and I really want to play this clip. This was Anthony Fauci, the PBS documentary. This is clip number 4. Let's just hear. This is him going into Anacostia, which is a poor working class neighborhood full of African Americans in Washington, D.C. And this is the liberal, especially the white liberal. Anthony Fauci is the white liberal's dream. They had signs up in Bethesda, Maryland, you know, thank you, Dr. Fauci, for shutting us down, for bringing tyranny, for copying China, for lying about vaccines and masks and natural immunity. Anyway, he confronts, this is from 2021, but they just released it, PBS documentary. This is one of the residents he confronted trying to sell him on getting the vaccine. And they had the vaccine with them. They were giving out the shots that day to people. It appeared to be. Anyway, here's the guy talking to Anthony Fauci about why he won't take his vaccine.
With the information that's been given to us right now. So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot or a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccination.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allows thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's
much more serious than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that. Something else going on.
You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and almost everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. But I won't keep you anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive. Y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Bravo, 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 bravo. Wow. And if you saw the video and you can see it, just go on social media and look it up. PBS, Fauci, debate vaccine. Fauci slunks away, just completely defeated, has nothing left to say. The mayor, that was Mayor Mario Bowser of D.C., so insulting. When the guy says he refuses to take it for every valid reason and every reason I refuse to take it, he voiced. And I would just add to what this fine gentleman said, as I didn't even consider the vaccine, and even my 93-year-old mother didn't consider it. For one simple reason, we didn't trust the people that were pushing it. And that's the bottom line. You would not push it. My wife didn't get it. My kids didn't get it. No one got it in my family like that. And it wasn't even an option to consider because of someone like Anthony Fauci pushing this vaccine. And it's also Donald Trump's greatest blunder. The last thing you want to do is rush a vaccine through that will later be used after you're out of office to mandate on people and give pharmaceuticals record profits. So, at any rate, that was a great clip. I did want to mention, I'm almost out of time, but I don't want to go without mentioning this climate homicide paper. In the Harvard Environmental Law Reviews calls for prosecuting big U.S. oil firms for climate deaths. This paper has been covered now in major publications, UK Guardian, their headline, new climate paper calls for charging U.S. oil firms with homicide. What's amazing about this is blaming fossil fuels for climate is all part of this plan to merge what we just saw with Anthony Fauci, public health and climate change. Anthony Fauci did a paper saying that the viruses are going to increase due to climate change. We've already seen a doctor diagnose the first patient in the world in Canada as suffering from climate change in 2021. And this was a British Columbia doctor, the first ever diagnosed, the patient had a heat stroke. They diagnosed it as climate change. We also saw where climate change concerns are limiting medical treatments, cancer treatments. You have to be careful of your carbon footprint, as well as there's efforts to restrict anesthesia based on climate concerns. And again, this isn't some blogger. This was the National Association of Anesthesiologists. This was the American Cancer Society. So I never cite obscure sources on this stuff. The only time I'll cite an obscure source is if they say something really funny and entertaining. I like to use it for comedic relief. We already have academics demanding that climate change be added to death certificates as a cause of death. So you see what's happening here? The reality is opposite. During the era of global warming, climate-related deaths have dropped 99% the last 100 years, proving mankind has adopted to it. So the idea that Harvard wants to declare oil companies with homicide, they ought to look at the life count versus any alleged death count. The idea that this is murder is nonsense. So that you can go to Climate Depot and see the headline. That's what I have up on that. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening today. I will be back next week. This is TNT Radio. This has been the Mark Morano Show. We'll see you next time.